the Canadian Bitcoiners podcast is just two guys and maybe a guest or two discussing Bitcoin, Bitcoin equities, and the related macroeconomic space. It's not meant to be financial advice, so please, if you're doing any investing after listening to our program, do your own research, do your own due diligence, and understand that any money you invest can be lost. The show is meant for entertainment purposes only, and we hope you enjoy the program.
Hello, Bitcoiners. Welcome to the 61st episode where we talk about Bitcoin miners and Bitcoin-related equities. Today is July the 18th, and there's some interesting stories that I want to talk about today, particularly with one penny stock, Bitcoin Miner, and how they're finding a very interesting way to grow their business in this very troubled time. So we'll be talking about them in just a moment. But before we go any further, just want to ask if you could please like, subscribe, and share. That will help us grow this channel and get more eyeballs on our show. But with that being said, let's move on to the sponsors portion of our episode. And our first sponsor is ShakePay, the best place to buy and never sell your Bitcoin. Open an account with our referral code below, fund your account with $100, and buy $100 of Bitcoin or the competing token that they have on their platform, and $30 will be awarded to you. Not too bad. Also, by opening an account with our referral code, you have the ability to shake your phone once a day when you have the ShakePay app open. And if you do this on consecutive days, you get more and more Bitcoin awarded to you. And if you do it for 365 consecutive days, the rewards become 1,000 Satoshis per day. Not many faucets are available out there. You might as well take advantage of the ShakePay Shaking for Sats award thing that they have. Also, they do have the ShakePay Visa card. So you load up your ShakePay app with Canadian dollars, go out and buy whatever it is. You have to buy groceries, gas, whatever the heck you need to get. And the first 5,000 you purchase using the ShakePay Visa card, 2% will be awarded back to you in Bitcoin. And beyond that, 1% of all your purchases will be rewarded back to you in Bitcoin. And it'll just be simply added to your ShakePay account. Not too bad. The last thing they do have is the Shake Squad. So you team up with up to 4 people. And every time anybody uses the ShakePay Visa card, everybody in your squad is going to be rewarded with 42 Satoshis. It's a great way to get a whole bunch extra Satoshis and just add to your stack. So yeah, great stuff going on at ShakePay. Definitely recommend using them for buying your Bitcoin and, of course, never selling. And what are you going to do with all the Bitcoin that you bought from ShakePay? Well, why not put it on the Ledin platform, earn some interest? Open up an account with our referral code below, fund your account with 150,000 Satoshis or 75 USDC, keep it on their platform for 15 consecutive days and you'll be rewarded with 10 USDC. Also, if you have a large Bitcoin stack you don't want to sell, you have stuff to do, change your tires, fill up your car with gasoline, whatever the heck you need to do, Ledin is there to help you out. You can borrow against your Bitcoin. It's a 50% loan to value, so you could simply just borrow against your Bitcoin if you don't want to sell it, and they are there to help you out. They also have the B2X option where you can double up your Bitcoin stack. So if you think the price of Bitcoin is going up, it is, isn't it? Then you use the B2X, double up your Bitcoin stack, and when a price gets high enough that you're satisfied, you pull out, always pull out, and you're good to go, and you now have more Bitcoin on your balance sheet than before simply using the B2X option and timing the market correctly. And the last thing they have is the Bitcoin backed mortgages. Industry first, check their website to see where that is available because it's not available in every jurisdiction, but also check their website for the interest rates for the savings and the borrowing because these change on a month to month basis. All right, so with the formalities out of the way, let's get hashing. All right, so let's talk about the very first story, which is our whipping boy Coinbase and what's going on over at the Coinbase camp. Well, number one, very interesting story. They tweeted out just last week that they've partnered up with the WNBA and you could attend the WNBA championship thanks to Coinbase just by simply entering this contest and you're good to go. So this is going to be a great event for everybody. The WNBA and Coinbase, what a great combination. But more seriously, there's a Coinbase statement announced just last week that as of July 19th, they're going to be temporarily shutting down their U.S. affiliate marketing program, and this is due to crypto market conditions. Temporarily, it's probably going to be permanent. What does this mean? It's obviously not a good sign. It's showing you that there's some weakness on the Coinbase front. And how is this going to impact influencers or people out there that are just trying to pump Coinbase and try to get more users on board? Obviously, they're not going to be able to do so. They're not going to want to do so because they're not being compensated for having new users sign up to their platform. This is probably going to impact their ability to draw new users moving forward because they're not going to get the same exposure as other exchanges do that still have affiliate programs going on. This is a sign. Is this a sign that there's smoke and there may be fire there? I'm going to leave you to decide, but something that's very concerning. A thriving organization wouldn't do this. A dying organization will probably do this. So I'm not saying that they're on their deathbed, but I'm just trying to say just something is concerning to stop temporarily, as they call their affiliate program. That's terrible stuff. I feel for them moving forward. I feel for the investors moving forward because they're getting wrecked. They've been wrecked, although today has been a good day. But overall, it's been a rough, rough ride for Coinbase investors. They have to transition to become Bitcoin only. That's it. They can't be dealing with all this BS, DeFi, altcoin garbage. They got to stick to the Bitcoin. This is what brought them to the dance, and they should revert back to that. But until they do so, it's just going to be more and more bad news. And the news today, well, their affiliate program, their signing up program is done, at least temporarily. So too bad. So sad. All right. So moving things along, Luxfolio. Interesting story. I'm going to let you kind of connect the dots here as much as you can, but it's noted here that they've launched immersion mining and they're trying to reduce their debt and optimize operations. Well, it sounds good on the surface. When diving a little bit deeper, they sold off 970 of their miners, and that equates to about 100 petahash per second that's gone. And through these proceeds, they got 3.2 million US, and that was the money that was used to reduce their debt that they have accumulated on their balance sheet. So whoever bought these miners are still going to keep them at the location at Luxfolio. Luxfolio is still going to be hosting them, and it's going to be done through an immersion project. So it's a 2-year immersion hosting agreement. So Luxfolio is going to be collecting some money for hosting this on behalf of the other company, but they're not going to be able to collect the Bitcoin that's mined through it. So it goes to show you that there's some real challenges that's going on in the Bitcoin mining sphere right now. Luxfolio is selling off a fair bit of their mining equipment, 970 mining machines. And that's going to give them, as I mentioned, $3.2 million to drive down their debt. But 100 petahash is a significant amount. So this is, you know, again, connecting the dots doesn't seem all that great. It sounds like that you're liquidating your money-making machines to pay off the debt. And I know it's a tough time for Bitcoin mining operations, but in terms of looking how things are progressing, it's really not looking all that great in my eyes. I could be wrong. So this is something that is definitely concerning from Luxfolio. I hope that I'm wrong in my assessment and they are turning things around, and well, not really, they're continually moving on the right path. But yeah, selling off mining machines, especially at a time when the price of these machines are very, very low, it kind of screams desperation. I could be wrong, but yeah, something to consider, and we'll see if we could track this moving forward. But they lost 100 petahash, so they're not too good. So their ability to mine Bitcoin moving forward is definitely going to be impacted. So keep this information on file in your mind, because when you look at their reporting moving forward for how much Bitcoin they mine, this is going to impact them negatively. They're going to have less Bitcoin that they're going to be mining. Sure, they're going to get some revenue for hosting, but they're Bitcoin miners. That's what they should be doing, mining Bitcoin, right? But that's it for Luxfolio. Let's move on. All right, let's keep things moving. And Mawson Infrastructure released some news today. And the news is that they released raising $6.4 million. And the $6.4 million that they're raising is through the sale of shares, 8 million shares and warrants. And this is, as I mentioned, going to raise them $6.4 million. And what is their intention with this money? They're going to use it to build out their infrastructure, digital infrastructure. And this I like, potential strategic transactions. I like hearing that, but also for general corporate purposes, including working capital. But the potential strategic transactions makes me wonder exactly what is that all about? Is that potentially buying up smaller companies or buying more equipment? Like it leaves very open, but I like the fact that they're open-minded in their thinking and that they're trying to grow their company. That I like. The selling of the shares, it's unfortunate, but they have to raise capital somehow, and this is one of the ways that Bitcoin miners tend to do it. So yeah, this is really all I have to report from Mawson. The markets didn't really take kindly to this news. Again, Mawson's usually at the very top or the very bottom, and today it's closer to the bottom. Was it due to this news or something else? I guess this news, but again, with them looking forward and trying to, looks like, you know, with the strategic transactions, I like hearing those words. I hope they action it and then they could do something with it, buy up ASICs on the cheap, do something, because, you know, everything seems to be depressed price-wise, but we'll see what happens moving forward. So that's really it, I gotta say, in the Mawson Infrastructure Group side. All right, the last piece of news I have comes from this penny stock Bitcoin mining company, Sato Technologies, formerly known as Canada Computational Unlimited. Sato came up with some really interesting news here, and they have essentially borrowed $4 million, and this is going to be financing, purchasing Bitcoin mining equipment. This is actually 3 million Swiss francs, which is around $4 million Canadian, that's the equivalent. But what they plan to do with this is they plan to build out their infrastructure and purchase miners and grow their network, which is what you want to see. Good thing on their part, especially while prices are depressed. The terms for this condition, for this borrowing, is 8% interest per annum. That's pretty steep, and it's repayable over a 3-year period of time. So if the price of Bitcoin theoretically goes up 8% or higher over that year, they could simply sell the Bitcoin that they mine, and it could help pay down this debt, as long as they're able to pick up a lot of miners on a cheap and plug them in on their network. Also, it's not just limited to the 4 million Canadian. They said that they could extend this, and it's possible that they could reach to 20 million Swiss francs, or the equivalent of $26.7 million Canadian. That would be incredible. If they could raise that type of money, they could really build out their network. Granted, they'd take on a lot of debt to do so. But for a small company that is thinly traded, this could really elevate their stock price to much, much higher. I like this move. They're rolling the dice here, and this is a high risk, high reward type move, because if things go sour, it's going to go so bad that they may just have to liquidate everything and close shop. But if things go well, price of Bitcoin moves up, they buy Bitcoin mining equipment on the cheap, and they extend their loan from 4 million to the 26.7 million, was that the number, whatever it was, if they could get to that point and really build up the network, they could be an absolute, not really a monster, but they could just be much, much bigger than what they are right now. And they did it at a time when everything is cheap. I like these moves, rolling the dice. This could be a home run. No guarantees that this is going to be a winner here. But if you want to try putting something down on a high-risk player, this is the one. I like Sato. Give him a shot. It's definitely an interesting company. And their CEO, we talked to their CEO in the past. Check out that interview. He is so bullish on Bitcoin. Like this move, like this company. I hope it pans out, because I want to see them succeed. I hope you enjoyed this episode, because that's it. And just before we wrap things up, I want to make sure you are aware that I'm not a financial advisor. Joey's not a financial advisor. Nobody in the show ever has claimed that they are a financial advisor. So no information you hear from us can be construed as financial advice. Make sure you do your own research. You figure out what you're doing before you purchase anything that we're talking about on the show, because that's the only way to do business. And with that being said, see you tonight. We're going to have our flagship show, 7 o'clock p.m. So hope to see you there. And if you don't catch us there, you potentially are a no-coiner. And with that being said, we'll probably be chatting again tomorrow. So take care. Hello, Bitcoiners. Welcome to episode 62, where we talk about Bitcoin miners and Bitcoin-related equities. Today is July 19th, a very warm and beautiful July 19th. I hope you're having a great day. But today has been an absolutely phenomenal day on the markets with respect to Bitcoin. The price of Bitcoin, as you can tell, is pumping, and all the Bitcoin-related stocks, they're just green, or just about all of them are green, which is fantastic. So yeah, with that being said, just want to ask if you could please like, subscribe, and share. That will help us with growing this show and this channel. And with that, let's move on to our sponsors. And with our first sponsor of the show, ShakePay, the best place to buy and never sell your Bitcoin. Open up an account with our referral code below. Buy $100 of Bitcoin or the competing token they have on their platform, and you'll be gifted with $30. Also, once you open up an account with our referral code, you'll be able to shake your phone. And if you do it once a day, you'll get a little bit of Satoshis every day. Do it for 365 consecutive days, and the Satoshi reward will be 1,000 Satoshis per day. So it makes sense to open up your phone, open up the ShakePay app, and shake that phone once a day just to get rewarded some Bitcoin. Also, they have the ShakePay Visa card, where you could use your ShakePay app, which would be loaded up with Canadian dollars, and you could use that for your everyday purchases, for like gasoline, groceries, whatever. And the first $5,000 you spend on the ShakePay Visa card, well, ShakePay is going to reward you with 2% back in Bitcoin. And everything beyond the first $5,000 will be returned back to you in 1% in Bitcoin. So not too bad. And the last thing to have is the Shake Squad. So find up to four other members that you could team up with. And every time anybody in your squad uses the ShakePay Visa card, everybody's going to be rewarded with 42 Satoshis. It's a great way to stack sats just by simply using your ShakePay Visa card. And what are you going to do with all that Bitcoin? Why not dump it on Ledin and earn some interest? Open up an account with our referral code below and fund your Ledin account with 150,000 Satoshis or 75 USDC. Keep it on their platform for 15 calendar days and you'll be rewarded with 10 USDC. They also have the ability to borrow against your Bitcoin. So if you have a large Bitcoin stack you don't want to sell, but you have some bills you have to pay, Ledin is there to help you out. Just put it on a platform, borrow against it, 50% loan to value. Ledin is there to help you out. Another thing they have is the B2X feature, where if you want to double up your Bitcoin stack, you could simply use the B2X option. And if you think the price of Bitcoin is going up, you can make a lot of extra Bitcoin by simply timing the market right and using Ledin's B2X option. But make sure you pull out before the price starts to drop, or else you're just going to be left holding the bag. The last thing to do have is the Bitcoin-backed mortgages. Those are industry first, but make sure you check their website because they're not available in every jurisdiction. But also check their website to see what are the savings and the borrowing rates, because these change on a month-to-month basis. And with the formalities out of the way, let's get hashing. And leading things off, we have a story from Coinbase, our whipping boy. And they've mentioned here that they are offering Coinbase managed Web3 usernames to its users built on top of the ENS infrastructure. Wonderful stuff, Coinbase. And here's the help article from the Coinbase website that talks about it. Hitching their wagon to Web3, thinking that this is going to give them a whole bunch of new revenue that's going to propel them to the promised land. Good luck, because they're not going to be able to ride this wave. It's really going to be like they're going to be drowning underwater if they continue down this path with Web3 and the altcoins and all that stuff. But there's another story that came out about Coinbase, and this is another one that shows that they're losing steam, or they continue to lose steam. Binance, they flip in Coinbase to become the number one exchange in the world with the most Bitcoin held on the exchange. So if you look at the article here, it mentioned that Coinbase had this record since 2014. That's quite a run that they've had the throne of having the most Bitcoin on their exchange. That's a good and bad thing. The good thing that they're very active in the Bitcoin world, but bad, there's so much Bitcoin that's being held on the exchanges. But guys, take your Bitcoin off exchanges. Nonetheless, Binance is now the new king of the hill here. And there's a chart here from Will Clement, and it shows that around 600,000 Bitcoin mark was the tipping point. So, but you can see in this chart, the amount of Bitcoin held on Coinbase has been steadily decreasing over time. And the inverse has been happening on Binance, where it has been steadily increasing. So when I'm looking at that chart, it leads me to one of two things. Number one, people are wisening up to taking their Bitcoin off the exchange. But I don't think that's truly reflective, because Binance is going up at the same time. So are just Coinbase users smartened up to not keeping their Bitcoin on the exchange? But on the flip side, it just goes, this is what I think it's more indicative of. Coinbase is just not really something that Bitcoiners tend to use. And I'm actually kind of shocked that Binance is something that Bitcoiners like to use. But nonetheless, that's a story that just goes to show that Coinbase is on the path down, and they have to turn this thing around. Although they had a couple of good days on the market, and you know, it's probably welcome news for Coinbase investors, the reality is there's still lots of concern, lots of questions, and some smoke. There may be some fires that potentially will burn out of control. So yeah, that's just my two cents with respect to Coinbase. Another one I would be very concerned about. I don't want to see them go down. It would cause a massive, massive problems with the market if they were to declare bankruptcy. But then again, you never know. Anything could happen these days. So who the heck knows? Stay very, very informed with Coinbase if you're investing in them. But also be very careful to pull out your money at the right time, because you could be left holding a bag, just like Voyager investors are currently holding. And there's an interesting story that I've read from DMG Blockchain Solutions, which has potential for them to generate new revenue. And this new revenue is adjacent to Bitcoin mining. I like seeing stories like this. So they just announced not too long ago that they've released their Terra Pool, which is a Bitcoin mining pool. And this is, as I mentioned, from DMG Blockchain Solutions. And for those who are unaware, what is a Bitcoin mining pool? It's where Bitcoin miners can sign up, and the aggregate of all the Bitcoin miners that are signed up to this pool, all the hash rate is pooled together, and they try to mine Bitcoin. And should a block be found, the rewards are distributed based on how much hash rate you're providing to the pool. And where DMG comes in, well, mining pools take a small cut of every block that's found through a particular pool. So that's how DMG is going to be making a little bit of extra revenue through this mining pool. So if more companies jump on board, it's going to make this particular pool more and more likely to find more blocks and mine more Bitcoin. So that's pretty cool. And so this is the website for their mining pool. It's the first green Bitcoin mining pool. It's an ESG related type of mining pool. And there are particular requirements to become a member. You have to maintain 10 petahash in the pool, and there's a few other things. But yeah, rather cool stuff that they have this new mining pool that they just released. And yeah, like I mentioned, it's going to give them the ability to generate new revenue. And should this catch fire, I mean, there's always lots of talk about ESG stuff. I'm not a big fan of it per se, but maybe you might have a bigger mining company. Maybe Hut might join up with this, or maybe Hive might join up with this, and it would substantially increase the hash rate of the mining pool, which in turn would increase the amount of revenue that DMG Blockchain Solutions will be generating from this mining pool. So I think it's rather cool stuff. I like that they're building stuff for their business that is adjacent to Bitcoin mining. It may not be Bitcoin mining per se, but it's darn close to it. And by doing so, now they're just tapping into a new revenue stream that is potentially untapped, because as it's mentioned on the website, I don't think there's any other ESG based Bitcoin mining pools. So if there's Bitcoin mining companies that are like-minded, I could see them wanting to join up with this mining pool should the rewards and everything be sufficient for them. Of course, they'd have to review what is the hash rate, what is the fees that DMG is going to be taking, but still, they're there's now more options, and DMG is going to be one of those options they're providing for Bitcoin miners to join up with this pool. Cool stuff. I rather like this story, and I hope that this this takes off, and I want to see other Bitcoin miners do the same. Maybe not ESG focused, but let's see if they can start their own mining pools that are in competition to some of the Chinese pools that are currently out there. And the last story I have is about Marathon, and this PR seems rather good. They're probably giving each other high fives, but I'm not all that impressed about it. I mean, there's some good and there's a little bit of bad to it. I just want to just dive into what I don't like about it. So the PR mentioned that Marathon has secured hosting capacity to support 23.3 exahash per second of Bitcoin mining. So somebody else is going to be hosting them. Their miners, they're going to provide Marathon with the energy, and Marathon's going to take advantage of it. So this is just another layer of complexity added to the whole thing, because they're not self-hosting. Somebody else is hosting their miners. And so that's just another layer of complexity here that could potentially go wrong. And it's much better if you do self-hosting, but this is what Marathon is reporting. So nonetheless, let's go a little bit further. They say they secured 254 megawatts of power and through some hosting agreements. And this could be potentially increased to 324. And that's through a variety of hosting providers. And that's going to give them potential to mine up to 23.3 exahash per second. That's a lot of energy. It's a lot of hash rate. So that is rather good. And 200 of those megawatts will be coming from Applied blockchain, and 90 of which comes from Applied's facility in Texas. And the remaining 110 will come from Applied's facility in North Dakota. And Marathon will be able to take advantage of 66,000 miners that they could have plugged into Applied's network and take advantage of that. And it will give them 9.2 exahash per second. That's going to increase their hash rate all in all. And not just that, the 200 megawatts could increase to 70 megawatts. So a grand total of 270 if everything is all exercised, all the options are exercised. But here's the caveat. Applied's blockchain's facilities are currently under construction. Based on the construction scheduled, installation of Marathon's miners are expected to begin at these facilities during the fourth quarter of 2022, and all miners installed approximately mid-year 2023. So you're going to have to wait quite a while for all these miners to be installed. Because they don't have control over the construction schedule, it's not their facility. They're relying on somebody else to complete that. So again, like as I mentioned, it's another layer of complexity that's got to be dealt with, and they don't have control, total control over the whole process. They also have a hosting arrangement agreement with Compute North, and Compute North will be providing 42 megawatts of capacity, hosting capacity at their Granbury, Texas facility. And Marathon is going to be able to plug in an additional 14,000 miners. They already have some miners there. So the total mining capacity they have will be 26,000 miners, representing about 3.6 exahash per second, and everything's going to be installed and hashing away before the end of 2022. And they also arranged another 12 megawatts through a variety of other providers, so it's good to get some more energy. Unfortunately, again, it's not self-hosted, and that's going to represent 4,000 miners that are going to be plugged in, representing 0.8 exahash per second, and it's going to be starting August 2022. So really soon that's going to be plugged in, but it doesn't represent a heck of a lot. So there you go. Marathon, they are going to be expanding their network substantially. They lost quite a bit of hash rate when their Hardin, Montana location suffered damage through a storm, a severe storm over there. And so they're trying to do what they can to relocate all the mining equipment so they can continually hash away. So it's sad that they don't have the ability to self-host, and the Hardin location took a pounding, and they were forced to relocate somewhere else. And it's good they found somebody else to take advantage of their of power, so they could plug in and take advantage of Applied Energies and Compute North's excess energy situations. But still, I just want to stress, it's not their energy, so it's not self-hosted. So you know, I like the story, but I don't totally like it, if you understand what I'm trying to get at. So yeah, I don't want to say there's a red flag here, but if you don't own the whole thing, you don't control the whole process from A to Z or A to Z, depending on where you live in the world. So that's just something that I'm not all that fond of. But nonetheless, that's going to be a large increase of hash rate that's going to be coming online slowly over time over the next 12 months or so. So yeah, good on Marathon. Just too bad it's not self-hosted. And that's it. I hope you enjoyed this rather abbreviated episode. And just want to make sure before we sign off that everything we talk about on the show, from my mouth, from Joey's mouth, and any of our guest mouths, is not financial advice. So make sure you do your own research before you buy anything that we talk about on our show. So with that being said, tomorrow I'll be back. And we do also have an interview tomorrow booked with Kaboom Rack CEO. So you may want to check that out. But also check out our last episode we recorded yesterday, our flagship episode number 69. Check that out. It was a lot of fun. So with that being said, we'll talk again tomorrow. Hello, Bitcoiners. Welcome to episode 63 of our wrap-up on Bitcoin miners and Bitcoin-related equities. Today is a good one because we are going to be talking about Hive, and they achieved some record results, even though we are in a bear market. And of course, we'll be talking about our favorite whipping boy, Coinbase. Can't go a day without talking about them. But with that being said, just want to ask if you could please like, subscribe, and share. That will help us with growing the channel. And let's go on to our sponsors. And our first sponsor is ShakePay, the best place to buy and, of course, never sell your Bitcoin. Use our referral code below to open up an account, and if you buy $100 worth of Bitcoin or the competing token that they have on their exchange, ShakePay is going to give you $30. Not too bad. Also, if you open up an account with our referral code, you'll be able to open up the ShakePay app and shake the phone, and when you do that, you'll be rewarded with partial Bitcoin. Do this once a day, every day, for 365 consecutive days, and the rewards will jump up to 1,000 Satoshis per day. So it makes sense to open up your phone, open up the ShakePay app, and shake your phone because you get some free Satoshis as a result. They also have the ShakePay Visa card. So if you use their Visa card, load up your ShakePay account with Canadian dollars, use that to purchase whatever it is, gas, groceries, whatever. The first 5,000 you purchase with the ShakePay Visa card, 2% will be rewarded back to you in Bitcoin. And then everything beyond that will be 1% rewarded back to you in Bitcoin. So that's more Satoshis you could stack. And the last thing they have is the Shake Squad. So if you team up with up to four other people, anytime anybody in your Shake Squad uses the ShakePay Visa card, 42 Satoshis are going to be awarded to everybody in the team. So find active people that use the ShakePay Visa card, and that's another way to add some Bitcoin to your stack. So we recommend ShakePay. We use ShakePay to buy our Bitcoin, and you should open up an account with our referral code below. What are you going to do with all the Bitcoin that you bought? Why not put it on the Ledin platform, earn some interest? Open up an account below with our referral code. Fund your Ledin account with 150,000 Satoshis or 75 USDC. Keep it on their platform for 15 consecutive days and you'll be rewarded with 10 USDC. Not only that, they also have the ability to loan out money to you. So you could put your Bitcoin on their platform and you could borrow against it. 50% loan to value applies here. So you could use that additional money to buy a car, fix your car, buy tires, whatever the heck you got to do. But you don't have to sell your Bitcoin. If you need money in a pinch, Ledin is there to help you out. You could simply borrow against it. And if you think the price of Bitcoin is going up, you could double up your Bitcoin stack by using the B2X option. If you time it right, you could gain a lot more Satoshis, but just make sure you pull out at the right time. And the last thing they do have is the Bitcoin-backed mortgages, industry first. So check their website to see if that is available in your jurisdiction. Also check their website to see what is the borrowing and savings rate because these change on a month-to-month basis. So with the formalities out of the way, let's get hashing. All right, so leading things off, we have a story from Coinbase, but actually it's a trio of story from Coinbase to be specific. But anyways, yeah, so this article from Yahoo Finance mentions that Coinbase has no exposure to the bankrupt firms Celsius, Voyager, or Three Arrows Capital. And it's just fitting that there's a spelling mistake for this Coinbase article where Voyager is spelled incorrectly. So fitting that everything is just, it makes sense to me. But anyways, yeah, they announced here that there's no financial exposure to them for those three failed projects. They did mention that Coinbase Ventures was involved in a $25 million funding round for Terraform's lab back in January 2021, and Terraform Labs is the unholy entity which spawned Terra Luna. So yeah, there he goes. They were there at the beginning, but it looks like they have since parted ways. But Coinbase Ventures also states here that they invested in 300 projects to date, including a broad range of DeFi projects. That is concerning, because what's happened in the DeFi markets in the past little while, it's taken an absolute kick to the teeth. It's not going to be a great reporting period for them, but we'll talk about that momentarily. So the next thing let's talk about is that there's some good news coming out of Coinbase in Italy, for they've been given approval to continue giving services over there. So the regulatory bodies over there have approved Coinbase to continue to give services. The article is here, but essentially the TLDR says that they now meet the regulatory requirements and they're no longer in threat of getting kicked out of Italy. So there you go. So they could continue to offer their crypto asset services to the country of Italy. Very good. And the last thing it says here, that Coinbase is going to announce their second quarter 2022 financial results. And this is going to be done on Tuesday, August 9th, 2022. And it's going to be starting at 9 a.m. Pacific time. So the last time they had a quarterly report, their shares fell almost 16%. The last time they reported their trading, the volume declined 44% for their exchange. They noted that a lot less money was coming in, a lot more less trades were being taking place. Same thing's probably going to happen this time around. We're in a bear market, so I don't expect Coinbase to represent gangbuster numbers this quarter. So be very careful for this report, this Q2 report. It could not be very good, because obviously it's going to be hard to present good numbers. They're heavily into DeFi. They invested in them. DeFi took a kick to the teeth. Less people are making trades. More people are pulling out their money from exchanges. There's so many things that could potentially go wrong with this Q2 report. So yes, keep that in mind leading up to it, and especially on that day. So that's it for Coinbase. And we got an update from Soluna Holdings, and that's traded under the ticker SLNH on the NASDAQ. And they announced their June site level financials updates, and it's pretty good. They say that for the month of June, their Bitcoin mined increased by 2%. And this is at a time when the price of Bitcoin has dropped 38% at the same time. So that goes to show you that they're maintaining or increasing their overall hash rate. And in terms of their hash rate, they say the flat month over month with peak hash rate remains above 1 exahash per second. And it's not always 1 exahash per second. They say there is some curtailments and weather related issues with causing reduction of the hash rate, but overall their peak hash rate remains over 1 exahash per second, which is pretty good for a moderately sized Bitcoin miner. Something which is really good, though, is the power draw that they have. The cost of it is 2.5 to 2.7 kilowatt hours, cents per kilowatt hour. So it's 2.5 cents to 2.7 cents per kilowatt hour. That is darn cheap. And they say they have an 84% uptime for their machines, which is also very good. And they are going to be having opportunities in the long term for 2 gigawatts of power that they could draw from, which is a heck of a lot that they could draw into. But this chart shows you that their revenue, this is pretty good. You can see the revenue continually grows quarter over quarter. So all in all, it's rather good news from Soluna Holdings. I like what you see here. It's a moderately sized Bitcoin miner. It's not a gigantic one by any stretch, but they do have aspirations to grow, and they're drawing energy at a really cheap rate. So that's something you want to see. It makes it much more competitive for them to mine Bitcoin during bear markets when the price of Bitcoin goes down substantially, because then they're able to mine Bitcoin for significantly cheaper than your competition. And it gives them an opportunity to remain afloat where their competition may not. So yeah, good stuff from Soluna Holdings. All right, so for the last story I have is about Hive. And before we just go talk about what it is, there we have this awesome hat by the good people of Hive. Send this over to us. Just a great hat. And their CEO, Frank Holmes, was on our show last week. And he had a great interview. I'll put up the link over here. Check it out. Full of one-liners. Anyways, on to the news story. They reported on their annual report. This was late. and this ended on March 31st, 2022. And their annual revenue is up. Everything is up. It's a good report. Keep in mind, this annual review that ended March 31st takes into consideration two big upswings with Bitcoin. And yeah, so like last year, March 31st, 2021, Bitcoin was at that time at an all-time high. So was, I think, Ethereum. Then it went all the way down to around 28-ish thousand in July of 2021. And then it went up to around 69,000 in November, and it's been on a steady decline ever since. So that's essentially what you're dealing with in terms of the ups and downs with the price of Bitcoin during this calendar year, but this fiscal year. So all in all, it's not too bad. They note here that their hash rate for Bitcoin has increased from 310 petahash to around 2 exahash, and they say their mining for ETH went from 2.7 gigahash per second to around 6.1 gigahash per second. So I can't speak much on the ETH side of things, but their Bitcoin mining hash rate at 2 exahash is definitely pretty darn good. And they say they mined 2,368 Bitcoin for the fiscal year and 32,397 Ethereum. So all in all, it's like really good stuff if you look at it. The good news is they're not carrying any large debt, and this was talked about a little bit more in depth with Frank Holmes, their CEO. They do have debt, which is, of course, their mortgage, but that's at a fairly decent rate. Like the interest on that is not very high. I think I was reading a one-time around 5% interest rate they're charged on that that debt. But aside from that, they're not carrying anything. So, and they do sell their ETH, the ETH that they sell. They mine, they sell, and they're trying to maintain or increase their balance book of Bitcoin. So yeah, all in all, it's a really good report here. It kind of shows you a very detailed snapshot of how Hive is doing. And although they mine ETH, I mean, that's what they do. They find that it's financially a good thing to do for their investors, because they can mine ETH at a relatively decent price. The cost of the GPUs, the cost of power, in comparison to what you get with the equivalent revenue for mining Bitcoin, it's very competitive to mine ETH. And the fact that they do it and then simply switch it into cold hard cash to expand their operations and to ensure that they don't accumulate any debt, I like that strategy. That's actually a pretty good strategy to go around. The one thing I'm still rather concerned is, and we talked about it with their CEO, Frank Holmes, is when it comes time, if it ever comes time, if it's not, nothing as if with ETH, but if they ever move to the proof of stake, and it's the latest shows it may be September 2022, but who knows? But should it move over to the proof of stake, then Hive is going to be in a position where they will either have to sell their GPUs, or what the alternative is, which they have announced, that they're going to be going to high-performance computing. They're going to have to pivot to that. And Frank was convinced that it's a very lucrative field to get into. It doesn't seem as lucrative as mining ETH, because if it was, they would do so right now. But they still feel that there's an opportunity over there to get considerable amount of a stream of revenue through their GPU operations, and using that as the high performance computing, that they could just parlay that into revenue. So that's, I like that. That's a good way of looking at it. They're preparing for moving on. Another thing about Hive I want to make note of is their data centers are not centrally located in one particular part of a country. They're spread out throughout the world, which in my opinion gives them some flexibility in case something happens in a regional area, be it like a bad weather event or a government that turns against any proof of work mining. They'll be able to weather that storm because they're spread out throughout the globe. So that gives them a little bit more flexibility, although it's much more challenging to administer, because if they're all throughout the globe, you're sending out your engineers to go service them, it's more of a logistical nightmare, anything else. So it comes with a good and a bad, but I think it's a net positive. But to go back, This report is just indicative of the past year. The price of everything went up substantially. They were able to parlay the ETH that they had at a very decent price. They sold it off and made quite a bit of money, and that was able to expand their operations. Their hash rate in all regards went up. Really cool stuff. I like this report. Check it out if you want to see it a little bit further. I'll post a link below as well. And I encourage you to check out that interview we had with Frank Holmes. It was a doozy. And that's it. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And I just want to reiterate that I'm not a financial advisor, nor am I shilling any financial advice. Same deal with Joey and same deal with any of the guests that come on our show. So make sure you do your own research before you do anything that we talk about on our show. And later today, we'll be talking, I hope, fingers crossed, somebody from Kaboom Racks. And we'll be discussing Bitcoin mining and the selling of Bitcoin ASICs mining equipment. So check it out. It's going to be a fun interview. And we'll probably be back tomorrow. So with that, take care. Hello, Bitcoiners, and welcome to episode 64 of the Bitcoin Miners and Equities Wrap-Up. Today's going to be an interesting one. We'll be talking about Core Scientific and some not so great news coming out of them if you currently are a shareholder of that company. But let's just keep moving forward. Just want to ask if you could please like, subscribe, and share. That will help us with grow the channel. So with that, water now under the bridge. Let's talk about who is sponsoring our show. And our first sponsor is ShakePay, the best place to buy and, of course, never sell your Bitcoin. Our referral code is below. Use that to open up an account. And by doing so and buying $100 of Bitcoin or the competing coin that they have or token on their platform, ShakePay will simply gift you $30. Not too bad. Also, by opening up an account with our referral code, you will have the ability to shake your phone when you have the ShakePay app open, and you'll be rewarded with partial Bitcoin known as Satoshis. Do this on a consecutive day streak of 365 days, and the amount of Satoshis that are going to be awarded to you is going to be 1,000. So it makes sense to open up your phone, open up the ShakePay app, shake that phone, and get some free Satoshis every single day. They also have the ShakePay Visa card. And by using it, you're going to get some Satoshis back to you. So the first 5,000 that you spend on the ShakePay Visa card, 2% will be rewarded back to you in Bitcoin. And beyond that, 1% will be rewarded back to you in Bitcoin. It's another way to add some Bitcoin to your stack. And the last thing they have is the Shake Squad, where you could team up to 4 people. And anytime anybody in your squad uses the ShakePay Visa card, 42 Satoshis are going to be added to everybody's account in your Shake Squad. So again, it makes sense to find people that use a ShakePay Visa card because everybody's going to be getting free Satoshis, 42 per pop. So really nice way to stack some sats simply by using ShakePay. And our second sponsor is Ledin. And if you open up an account with our referral code below, and you fund your Ledin account with 150,000 Satoshis or 75 USDC, they're going to gift you 10 USDC as long as you keep that money on their platform for a period of 15 consecutive days. Also, if you're in need of money and you don't want to sell your large stack of Bitcoin, well, Ledin is there to help you out, and you could borrow against your Bitcoin with a 50% loan to value. As well, if you think the price of Bitcoin is going up, and I think we maybe you could double up your Bitcoin stack using the B2X option. And by doing so, you could, and if you time the market correctly, you could increase your Bitcoin stack, but make sure at the end you pull out, don't leave it in, because if you don't pull out, you're going to just be stuck with holding the bag. And the last thing they have is the Bitcoin backed mortgages. This is an industry first, so make sure you check their websites to make their website to ensure that they're offering the Bitcoin-backed mortgage in your jurisdiction if you want to take advantage of it. Also, check their website to see what is the interest rates and the savings rates, because these change on a month-to-month basis. And with the formalities out of the way, let's get hashing. And the first story I have, and in fact the only story I have, is about Core Scientific. And I just want to shine a light on this company, which is the biggest Bitcoin mining company publicly traded Bitcoin mining company when you're looking at the hash rate, but they also have an enormous amount of debt, which can be concerning, especially at a time when the price of Bitcoin remains relatively stagnant, although it's kind of rising up. Even look at the price over there, it's still, it's not gangbusters as it was, say, back in November of 2021. So understanding that they hold a lot of debt and the prices of Bitcoin's depressed, this is hurting Bitcoin miners. Let's take a look what I have. And so just recently it was noted that Core Scientific sold off 7,000 Bitcoin that they mined, and they did this to cover expenses, growth, and debt payments. And they pointed that out in their the June update. It was just pointed out that the proceeds from the Bitcoin sales in June were primarily used for payments for ASIC servers, capital investment in additional data center capacity, and schedule repayment of debt. The company will continue to sell self-mined Bitcoin to pay operating expenses, fund growth, retire debt, and maintain liquidity. So Core, they mine about almost 40 Bitcoin per day, which is a significant amount, no doubt about it. But still, with the price of Bitcoin where it is at right now, they're not making a heck of a lot on every Bitcoin that they mine and sell. And so that being repurposed for debt payment is not going to take them as far that it would if the price of Bitcoin was much higher. But here's where it gets a little bit dicey, and this is why I'm going to be very concerned if I am an investor of Core Scientific or want to be one. So it was noted today that they're going to be raising $100 million of liquidity. Okay, it's going to be over 24 months. Okay, that's fine. But how are they going to be doing this? Well, under this agreement, Core Scientific has the right without obligation to sell and issue up to 100 million of shares of its common stock. So this is something that's concerning to me, because it's, from the way I'm reading it, they're going to sell some of the stock that they hold, some of the shares which they hold, but they're going to probably create some as well. There's going to be some dilution of shares as a result of more being created. So if I, and that $100 million is a heck of a lot, considering that their market cap right now stands at about a little bit over 600 million. So they're going to be 1/6 extra could potentially be created. That's a lot. That's a lot of dilution that could potentially take place. So if I was an investor of Core Scientific, definitely concerned, because it's going to make my share much less scarce, because they're going to make more of it. Also, on the flip side, going forward, I'd be concerned about investing in Core Scientific, because they've proven that they may want to start diluting some of their shares. And would I want to buy in a company that has a history of doing that? Probably not. I mean, I would be very concerned about doing that. So that's something I'm very concerned. So that's the real red flags I see here. But also, I want to also point out that the heavy debt that they're carrying, if the price of Bitcoin remains stagnant where it is at the low 20s, it's going to make it very difficult for them to maintain and service their debt. It's quite possible we may see a point in the future, should the price of Bitcoin remain where it is right now, Core Scientific might slowly start selling off their equipment, start chopping up what they have, and they may no longer be the largest Bitcoin miner out there, because it's a lot of debt they have to service. And really, how else are they going to make money? They're selling the Bitcoin, that most of it that they've already mined. They're selling the ones they already are mining right now, potentially diluting shares. What else could they sell? There's nothing else. The equipment is last. And once they do that, then they'll be much less able to create profits, create revenue. And that's, again, it's something very concerning. So, yeah, that's all I wanted to point out with this one. It's still, I mean, maybe I'm just, it's a red flag here, but may not be that, you know, that crazy of or that big a thing to deal with. But just in my eyes, you know, the debt, problematic. Selling the Bitcoins, it is what it is, but okay. Creating shares dilution, red flag. So, yeah, and as debt gets more and more costly to keep on the balance book moving forward, as the interest rates go up and they'll have to refinance their debt, it's going to get more difficult to do so. A lot of issues here, a lot of concerns I have here with Core Scientific. So, yeah, just wanted to point that out, and hopefully you could digest this and make a decision moving forward if you want to invest in them or continue to invest in them, because I certainly would have reservations of doing so based on what I see right now, which is too bad given the fact that they are the largest Bitcoin miner out there and they're mining a crap load of Bitcoin every day. So yeah, too bad for them. And that's it. I hope you enjoyed this rather abbreviated episode. So I know it's more just a core update, core scientific update, and really, and I hope you just take this information and run with it because it seems to be rather pertinent in my eyes. But with that being said, I just want to make sure you're aware that I'm not a financial advisor, so I'm not shilling financial advice. And nor is Joey. He's not a financial advisor, nor is he shilling financial advice. So make sure you do your own research and due diligence before you park any money anywhere. And with that, we'll probably be talking again on Monday, as tomorrow I'll be hitting the link. So with that, take care.